Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
We apologize here for the technical difficulties. This is the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Joe DiRienzo. Getting a bit of a late start today, but it is Saturday, April 4th, which means that today we have one day remaining with our countdown left to baseball. And joining me today, now that baseball is finally about to be back, our preview show of the year, joining me is Brad Jurdy. Brad, the wait is finally over. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some real baseball.
Yeah, I certainly am too.
All right, and we're going to get things off and running here. We've got matchup previews later for week one. We're covering all traditional league and daily fantasy sports needs. And we're going to be making some bold predictions later, but for now, let's get to the news. And we're starting off here with the inevitable. We all knew it was coming, or most of us did, but Chris Bryant has been demoted to the minors and will start the 2015 season in AAA. The move was a business side decision for the Cubs, and Bryant's going to be there for at least 11 days, because then the Cubs get a full year of control of his contract after that. He was soaring up draft board thanks to his 9 home runs in spring training. But, Brad, now that we know he's down there, now that we know we are playing a waiting game to get him back up to the majors, where is the right place to draft him, and when do you think we'll see him up?
Well, like you said, it was a business decision on the Cubs' end, and there was a lot of talk from his agent and from him, so I think a lot of it depends on where his head is and how mature he actually is and how motivated he is, whether the money is the real thing or whether getting into the big leagues and playing baseball for in Major League Baseball is the most important thing for him. I think he'll be up in 2 weeks, and we'll see then. I have him as my 8th-ranked third baseman, 71st overall, and I believe his ADP is somewhere in the middle of the 8th round, which is a little high as far as I'm concerned. I have a ranking system I use, and even though he falls one spot ahead of David Wright, whose ADP is in the 10th. If David Wright's still around in the 10th round, I think I'd take him. But I really like the kid. I think he has enormous potential, and he's got to improve on his strikeout rate. He's got a 27% strikeout rate. But I think that'll come with some experience.
Yeah, as he gets used to the major leagues, that strikeout rate will go down, I think. I think if you were one of those people that are drafting Bryant that got that ADP as low as it is right now, most of you are probably expecting him, once he gets up, to be playing like he's on scorched earth here, just like he did in the minor league or in the spring training when he had 9 home runs. You think if you draft him that early that he's going to come up and hit 30 homers even if he doesn't have April to work with. The only thing I think this really changes is those minority of people that thought he'd get the opening day start and that he had earned that. But as much as he played well in spring training, baseball is a business, and this is the way the Cubs decided to go about it. So for me, I personally don't think he'll be down there for that long. I think maybe they'll try to smoke screen the Players Association and keep him down for more than just the minimum 11 days if they don't want any trouble on their hands. But I do think that once he gets up, that 10th round-ish range, I think, would be comfortable where I would be comfortable drafting him. And then while you're waiting for him to come up, you could have a Pedro Alvarez, a Josh Harrison type, and that'll be enough for you to wait it out until he comes back up. And then I think 25 home runs is easily in range with 5 months of the season for him.
Yeah, I think so, too. I agree with that.
And we're actually going to move on here to another talented player who got demoted to the minor leagues to start off the season. Another one that's not too much of a surprise is Ruzny Castillo for the Boston Red Sox. They decided to go on Hanley Ramirez, Mookie Betts, and Shane Victorino as their opening day outfield. Castillo's getting paid a ton of money. He signed a $72 million contract. to be with the Red Sox, so I don't think he'll be down in the minors for long. But same question for you, Brad. How long will he be down in the minors, and when are you comfortable drafting him?
Not long. Like you said, he signed a big contract, and they're not paying him to play in minor leagues. I don't know if his situation is, this is similar to Chris Bryant's, only quieter because there wasn't as much reaction from him or from his agent. I don't know if it has anything to do with control of his contract, but I don't think he'll be down there long at all. I got him in the 13 to 15 round range. I'd have absolutely no problem drafting him there. He's, like you said, he's a talented kid. I really like him. He's got a great mix of power and speed. And even if he's down there for, to mid-April, I still think he brings 20 home runs and 20 stolen base potential to the table.
Yeah, I think it really is just a waiting game for when the Red Sox realize that he is their best chance at contending if they are going to be a contending team this year. Shane Victorino, at this point in his career, is best served as a fourth outfielder when you've got a guy like Castillo waiting in the reins to get him out on that field. This power-speed combo is unique at this age of baseball. He's got full season 2020 ability, and like you said, there's a chance he even gets that if he misses some of April. Last year, guys that hit 2020 and had a 280 average were two people, Carlos Gomez and Michael Brantley. And there were a couple guys like Todd Frazier and McCutcheon and Trout and Desmond who came close, but none of them did the three things like that Castillo, I think, has a real chance of doing.
Yeah, it's surprising, actually, that there were only four 2020 guys last year. You hear so much about the five tool guys, the guys that can get you the stats in each of the five major categories, but he certainly is one of those that can give you that mix of speed and power that is even more rare than I thought.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's actually only seven guys who had 20 home runs in at least 15 steals last year. They're all higher-end guys, but it's not as many as people think that it is. So these guys like Ruzney Castillo and Anthony Rendon and Ian Desmond, they're very unique in their skill set. And I think that means that Castillo's ADP, which is actually around 150 at this positive ADP between all sites, I think that means he's more than worth it if he only misses a month of baseball.
I think so, too. He soared up the draft board, like you said. But I don't think getting sent down to start the season is going to affect that much. I think he gets drafted pretty much where that composite ADP is.
Yeah, and another guy who has a recent realization that he's going to be missing some time starting the season, I don't think this will affect his time or his value at all either, and that's Justin Verlander. 3 years ago, he came in second place in the Cy Young vote, and that feels like an eternity ago. He's starting off the season on the DL with a tricep injury, and at this point, I think I have to ask the question, is Verlander even draftable?
No. I really don't think so.
It's a pretty simple answer, no.
Yeah, you said it. It seems like it does. It seems like a decade ago when you use Justin Verlander and Cy Young in the same sentence. He's been losing a mile an hour on his fastball every year over the last 4 years. And then that's before the injury that we learned about. And while they're calling it a triceps injury, I think it's getting to be, if not already, a shoulder issue, which, is really
even worse.
Yeah, it's just going to send him even further. So he's on the downhill side of his career, I think, and I think that slope's just getting steeper and steeper. I won't be drafting him.
Yeah, I think his 200 innings last year with a 4.5 ERA and a 1.4 WHIP is a large enough sample size for me to say, no thank you. If you had the triceps injury on top, I'm just completely turning a blind eye and looking the other way, and I'm looking far, far, far elsewhere for my pitching needs at the end of a draft.
Yeah, there's
all right, we got another injury
here. Give you a 4.5 ERA and a 1.4 WHIP that don't have an injury.
Yeah, plenty of guys with slightly more upside than Verlander does at this point in his career. All right, one more injury here. Yasiel Puig got into a bit of an ugly collision with Howie Kendrick on Thursday. The team says he's fine, but he did leave the game, and head injuries are always just something you've got to put a question mark on. They say he's okay. It looks like he missed out and didn't get a serious injury like people thought he did. But should owners be keeping an eye on him for at least the short term for this first week of the season, say, if lineups lock weekly?
I think, like you said, anytime you have a head injury, you've got to be somewhat wary. You've got to at least keep your eye on it. I took a look at this morning, and there isn't any that I could find any more new news. The Dodgers say he's fine. I had to give it a few days. So wary, perhaps. Would it change, my draft strategy as far as he's concerned? No, not at all.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way of looking about it. I think it's something to keep an eye on, but he'll be fine. He plays this kind of brazen, crazy style of baseball. This is bound to happen every once in a while, and this was a miss. This wasn't a severe hit and a concussion, so he's fine. Just make sure that there's no coach withholding the truth until the last minute here, and then feel pretty safe and comfortable with playing him in your leagues. All right, we got one more piece of news before we move on here.
I haven't heard them say that he had any concussion symptoms.
Yes.
And we both know that different players react very differently to concussions.
Yes.
Ask Justin Morneau. but it sounds like he's okay.
Yeah. The scare that people had from seeing the collision, people can be sighing a little bit of relief, at least at this point here. So that last little news item we have here, Irvin Santana was suspended 80 games for testing positive for, and I'm going to pronounce this completely wrong, stenazinol. It's a banned performance-enhancing substance which he claims he did not knowingly take, but he has suspended those 80 games. Obviously, he's at the back end of drafts, but owners who have drafted him already can release him. Is there anything else that this affects in the grand scheme of baseball and fantasy baseball?
Well, it's a absolute killer for the Minnesota Twins. And I'm a Twins fan. They had the worst ERA from their starters in major leagues last year. They signed him to largest contract in franchise history, free agent contract in franchise history, hoping to bolster that starting rotation. And, we get smacked in the face with this 2 days before the start of the season. It's a huge setback for them. And stenazolol is it's a muscle builder. It's not something that you accidentally take. It's not found in supplements. It's an oldie but a goodie, according to the Star Tribune. In Minnesota, anyway, they're just they don't think he's being truthful, and they're really set back by it.
Yeah, and I think this is, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is a much bigger story for the Minnesota Twins and their newfound gap in their rotation, which Mike Pelfrey will probably fill in for, than it is for fantasy owners, because if you drafted him, probably drafted him in the 200s. You're likely going to end up dropping it at some point this year unless he had another crazy start to his season. So this is more of a real fantasy story or a real baseball story than fantasy.
Yeah, it's much more of a real baseball story than fantasy. In fantasy terms, you might have taken a shot on him at some point in the draft, hoping that he'd have a good season. But like you said, I think probably you'd know the answer to that by mid-May. And he'd either be in your rotation or he'd be relegated to one of the streamers.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that is actually our final news item here. We are going to move on now to the moment we've been waiting for probably since last September. We have a preview for real baseball. Week one starts tomorrow, and opening day is Monday, so we are so close to actually getting real baseball to watch here. And on opening day, I think a lot of people are really salivating the opportunity to finally play daily fantasy sports for baseball. No basketball, no football. It's baseball time on DFS. And we're going to start here with the elite pitching options because a lot of aces are going on opening day, obviously. Who is the ace that you are targeting in DFS on opening day?
Well, I tell you, I can only really speak for FanDuel. I play a little on DraftKings, and I'm going to have to get into that a little bit more. You have two pitchers that you play there. So on DraftKings, you have to try to look at whether you're going to get a starter and a reliever, or try to squeeze two starters in there. But FanDuel, I'm very familiar with, and that site is extremely pitcher dependent. You get 4 points for a win, which is huge. Points for every strikeout. You simply cannot go wrong with Kershaw. But he's going to cost you $11,700 on Monday on FanDuel. I don't think you can go wrong. You got to pay up for pitching on FanDuel, as far as I'm concerned, because you've really got to get the highest strikeout potential, the best win, best shot at a win that you can get. Because in those tournaments with the double ups and triple ups, my experience has been that your pitcher needs to carry about half your points. That being said, Kershaw and his $11,700 price tag aside, Scherzer is $700 cheaper. It's not a lot, but it's cheaper. Facing the Mets, who I don't think much has changed as far as their strikeout rates goes, and he's facing Colon, who has a 7-plus ERA this spring. I've never been I never had any of the Colon Kool-Aid, so to speak. Never bought into that.
Don't worry, Cologne drank plenty of the Kool-Aid.
So I think Scherzer at 11,000 sounds like a lot, but I really like the strikeout potential there. So I could easily be talked into Scherzer over Kershaw. And just for the sake of throwing somebody else out there, another $500 cheaper, you got Bumgarner going against Arizona on Monday, which that's not a bad matchup either.
Yeah, there's obviously a ton of great matchups, and I'm more of actually a DraftKings guy, so we do cover both sides of the spectrum here. On FanDuel, Corey Kluber is my pick on both sides. Corey Kluber is worth 100 less than Bumgarner, and he's only 9,800 on DraftKings. He's facing the Astros, who have the highest K percentage of any team in baseball, which is now at 22%, which is insanely high. With an incredibly young team, you're not surprised too much. And they actually have the lowest batting average against righties at .242. So between those two things and Kluber's ridiculous season last year, I think he's the complete package, and he saves you a couple hundred bucks in that slight step down from the Scherzer and Kershaw range. Obviously, those two have great matchups as well. And then David Price against your Twins there. The Twins have the highest K percentage against lefties of all of last season. So I think, once again, Price and Kluber are the two I'm pairing on DraftKings for two elite starters. But if I have to pick one, I'm going with Corey Kluber.
Yeah, you know what? I missed that, the Kluber price tag and the fact that he's got the Astros. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and later in the week, because we're naming all these guys. Sorry?
I said I concede to you on that one. That's a pretty good choice, Kluber. I know you.
Thank you. Well, we got another bunch of starters to pick from later in the week. We've got all these aces going on day one, but we are going to try to keep playing every day for the remainder of the week. So non-elite starters, where do you see value coming from in daily fantasy?
Well, I took a look ahead a little bit. I took a look at this from the two start perspective. So I was
okay.
kind of not really looking at it in terms of daily fantasy at first, until I switched gears. And my brain got stuck somewhere in between. I like Tehran, who's priced at 9,200 on Monday, and he's facing Miami on Monday, and then he gets the Mets and their strikeout potential a little later in the week, and his price tag should probably be about the same there, which on FanDuel again is pretty good for a high end pitcher with a chance for a good amount of strikeouts and a good shot at a win. And I just go ahead and admit my man crush that I have on with Kyle Loesch. when Twins let him go when he was really young, and I think I made up some curse words when they let him go. He's got Colorado outside of Colorado, and then he's got Pittsburgh later in the week, and his price tag is on FanDuel is as low as you can go for a pitcher, pretty much $7,500 on Monday, and again he'll be about the same price tag later in the week. So, you know, if you're looking for real bargains at pitchers, I'm looking at those two guys a little bit. But as I said, especially with FanDuel being so pitcher heavy and pitcher dependent, I very rarely try to save money on the pitching unless something really stands out. I'll pay up for pitching and I'll figure out the rest later because, like I said, if you're going to win one of those, even a double up, triple up, something like that, you got to get about half your points out of the pitcher. So you need him to go long and strike guys out, get the win. Those 4 points for the win are huge.
Yeah, and daily fantasy people who have not played yet will soon realize how incredibly important and how many points you really get from pitching compared to the rest of your life and how much more reliable trying to figure out what pitchers will score you versus the kind of hitting performances you'll get. Because guys go 1-for-3 a lot. Guys go 0-for-4 a lot. And pitchers just are a much more solid, safe source of points here. Looking a bit later in the week, I once again, I'm going to pick on the Astros against the Cleveland Indians. Carlos Carrasco gets them on Wednesday. Huge strikeout potential. Obviously, once again, the Astros not hitting that well. He'll be in most of my lineups. And then on Friday, I really, really love Gio Gonzalez against the Phillies. The Phillies have 6 lefties that regularly play in their lineup. Against Gio, they hit .243 and strike out 21% of the time against left-handed pitching. That's just one of those matchups. It's a perfect storm. Gio's always one of those guys that's weirdly slightly underpriced, undervalued in other leagues as a whole. So I think he's fantastic. But looking at Thursday, it's that one game or one day of the week where we don't really have a ton of games on the slate, 9 instead of 15 games. And the only two aces in play are Matt Harvey and Steven Strasburg, and they're facing each other. So it's a rough slate on Thursday. It's really going to be tough to find great pitching that day. You're probably going to end up having to play it safe rather than going for the home run with your pitchers and then try to spend a little bit more on hitting.
Right. Well, and the good thing about daily fantasy baseball is you don't have to play every day.
Exactly.
So a lot of times when we get into the season, especially and you've got those split slates, I'll just stay away from them. I don't like playing a 5-game slate, you know, in the morning and 6 games, whatever, in the evening. I'll just stay away from it for that day a lot of the time, unless something stands out. But I agree completely with you about Carrasco and the Astros especially. I love him. Is where he's going in drafts for season-long baseball, by the way.
He's
strike,
a
he really can strike guys out, and the Astros were happy to oblige, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they'll be very happy to oblige, just missing some bats there. We got one more question to finish out the Daily Fantasy and the general Week 1 preview area here. We'll cover the hitters, so let's look a little bit under the radar here. What hitters have ideal matchups to kind of exploit this week?
You used the term, so I like Michael Taylor starting the season in place of Span for Washington. He's his price tag is $2,200. That's the minimum on FanDuel from Monday. He's had a great spring. He faces Cologne, who we already talked about. And then he gets to face the Phillies also this week. And one of those
they have
is
one pitcher.
Hamels, the lefty. So I like Michael Taylor for $2,200. Sign me up.
Yeah, $2,200. You can't really get much better than that. I aimed a little bit higher with my under-the-radar picks, I guess. On Monday, the starter that really doesn't fit in with the rest of the aces is Kyle Kendrick for the Colorado Rockies. Lefties slugged .480 against him last year. So this is the guy you want to target. So Scooter Jeanette and Adam Lind, who are both under 4,000 on – actually, Adam Lind is 2,800 on FanDuel and Scooter Jeanette 3,000 on FanDuel. So those are great values there, and they're 3,800 and 4,100 on DraftKings. They're both slugging incredibly well against righties as lefty bats. And Kyle Kendrick is just somebody you can absolutely demolish if these two guys really get going on opening day. And then later in the week, Billy Butler, he's going to be one of those guys you want to play only in split, but he's 3,200 on FanDuel and 3,700 on DraftKings. And he's a great matchup against Ross Detweiler on Wednesday, and you get J.A. Happ on Thursday. So two lefties in a row that you could use him on. And he slugs over .500 against lefties in his career.
Yeah, he's definitely a splits guy. You do have to make sure you're aware of that. But you're right. When he's facing the lefties, he's always a good choice, especially at those prices. That's not bad.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of home run potential here. We've got only 1 minute left here in the show. So, Brad, before we go here, give us a little preview of the articles you'll be writing this season on Fantasy Team Advice.
Well, I'll be doing piece for starting pitchers on FanDuel for daily, there'll be three of us will be doing a pickup article. One of the three of us will pick somebody to pick off the waiver wire and present our case for why we should, and one of the other two will present an opposing argument. And then the third guy sits out, and we're just going to rotate like that each week. And then I'll also be writing some other stuff depending on once the season gets going and once we get settled in, we'll see what see how it goes.
Absolutely. And I'll be writing a daily write-up. I actually created my own formula on how to compile a lineup on Daily Fantasy, a bunch of different things that go into that. And I'll be doing the Twitch streams every Wednesday. You go to twitch.tv/fantasyteamadviceMLB. That's all the time we have here. Thank you all very much for listening.
All right, thanks.